Now, Mr. Tony Snipes, I've been blessed to know you for quite some time now, but I know that you're an author, you're a visionary, you have Art Slam, you have so many things going on. But you took time to write a book, and this book is titled God's Seven Keys for Creative People. And that's a very interesting topic because sometimes we think that we are, sometimes we don't even know where we get our gifts from and where we get our ideas from. So first, let me ask you, what inspired you to write this book?
Well, a couple things inspired me with the book. First of all, I actually had written the content for the book probably about maybe 3 years ago, if not 4 years ago. But I wanted to make sure before I launched it that I had the, you know, the right package all put together, because it was, you know, it wasn't complete until I had the not only the content but the illustrations. Because, you know, I needed to make it visually exciting as well. But the reason why I wrote it in the first place, I wanted to. I have, you know, for years explored where, what are the keys of our talents and our gifts, and where does it all come from? And really, I tell you what, I'll boil it down to three key questions that everybody has asked. And the goal, or one of the goals of this book, is to help people get the answers to those questions. Those three questions are, everybody's asking, who am I? Why am I here? And what should I be doing? Who am I? Why am I here? And what should I be doing? And over this, the course of study of scripture and just, you know, prayerfully just trying to figure this thing out, I came across seven biblical principles that help to answer those three questions.
Okay, so I guess it would be a little bit too much to ask for you to share those seven principles with us right now, right?
Well,
Without going too much into the book.
I'll share a couple of them, especially my favorite ones that jump out at me.
Okay.
The first one, and especially although this book talks about creative people, and some folks automatically say, well, you know, that it's talking about artists and musicians and maybe, you know, dancers, and it eliminates a whole lot of folks. Actually, it's not just limited to those folks that do those traditional creative things, but it's, I call it a conversation starter. And it's, and I call it that because it's for anyone. Everybody's got some type of creative ability within them, whether they are a business person or an organizer or a administrator or a designer or those other things that you immediately think of. So that's who is in mind when I've written the book. But a couple of those key principles or keys that that jump out at me is the very first one. Key number one is God is a creative God. And that's the first thing that we find out about him. The first thing that we learn in the scriptures about his personality at all is his creative side. Now, the first five words in the Bible, in the beginning God created. And that's the very first thing that we're introduced to. So that's principle number one, that, you know, God is creative, just like we may be creative. Another one that really I love and really jumped out at me over the years, and I had to include it included in the book, is it's principle number six. If you're not connected to God, you cannot complete your assignment. Your talent becomes misused or wasted.
Wow.
So those are two key principles of the book that really jumped out at me, and ones that I kind of latched on to, that, you know, God is the most creative person. The first thing we learn about him is his creativity before we're introduced to anything else about his personality or any of his traits. And then, you know, down to principle number six, or key number six, that if we are not connected with him, then we cannot be as creative as he's planned for us to be. We cannot do everything that he had in mind for us to do. Even if we've had some marginal or limited success, or even if we think we've arrived, there's still even far more that we're supposed to do, that we may not do if we're not connected with him.
And I like how you touched on it, that if you're not connected to God, you can actually maybe use your gift, but you'll use it for the wrong reasons, or you use it in the wrong way, and you'll limit yourself as far as how useful you are. So I
you
definitely
will.
I
you
definitely
will.
Understand that.
Yeah,
so
you really will.
That's powerful, man. That's powerful, and you just gave us two, so there's a total of seven. So now let me ask you this:
yes,
for that creative person that's listening, where can they get this book at?
If they go to my website, artlessonsfromgod.com, they'll see a link there. They'll see a link that says book, or just go to artlessonsfromgod.com/book, and that'll take you directly to the pages where you'll see more details of it. Or, you know, even if you forget the link, just go to Amazon and just do a search for Tony Snipes, and then you'll find it.
Okay. And I would like to let everyone know that I do have a copy of the book, and it is a great read. It's not a big book. It's about 70 to 75 pages. It's visual. He has artwork in here. He has a seven keys in here. So I definitely suggest anyone who has a creative side to them and they feel like they maybe don't have everything that they need, this is the book that you need to pick up. It makes for a great gift for your son, for your children, your daughter, your spouse, or for yourself. Whatever, this is a great book. I definitely recommend it, and I look forward to hearing people who have given us feedback pertaining to this book. And the one thing I want to do, I want to back up a little bit, Tony, because you know we're speaking from, you know, the perspective that we've actually tapped into our gifts and we've kind of started along that journey. But you said something earlier. You said that you believe that everyone that is breathing has a gift and a talent.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
I truly believe that. Everybody's got some type of talent, some type of unique skill, some type of unique ability that God has placed within them. Everybody's got that.
Everybody.
Yes.
Now, how does somebody recognize their gift?
The thing that everybody needs to do, every person, again, everybody to ask those three questions. You know, I don't care what walk of life a person comes from. When I throw that statement out, that everybody has to ask these three questions: who am I? You know, what am I supposed to be doing? Where do I come from? And all those things, those three key questions: who am I? What should I be doing? Where do I come from? And what my talents are. Everybody's asked those questions, and so they can connect with that. And most people, what they start doing is they start seeking the answer to the question from the outside in. And the way that we really, and I think the way that God has wired us, is really to find the answers to those questions from the inside out. And what I mean by that is, before any of us were born, before any of us were on the scene, God has already wired us with key assignments in mind. Because he's a God of purpose. So he doesn't just do anything for, you know, just for kicks. You know, he doesn't just say, you know what, I'm going to have Jason as somebody that, you know, is really good at bringing people together. And, you know, Tony, he's going to be good at drawing and, you know, doing this and doing that. And so-and-so over here, they're going to be musicians. He's got a plan in mind with everyone that he's put on the earth before they were put on the earth. And so with that in mind, he's given us all these unique talents. And so the key thing is, we talk about this when a person tries to, in fact, one of the things I've talked about a lot on my blog is the difference between somebody calling their career and their job, and especially focusing on that first part, that calling. That calling is the key, because once you start determining what your calling is, it ties into your skills, it ties into your personality traits, it ties into your passions, it even ties into the things that not only that you love as far as your passions, but the things that you even detest, things that you hate. But all of those things really give you the indicator of what your creative gifts are and what you should be doing with.
That's pretty heavy, man, because, you know, I know I've sat down with some people and they have no clue of what they're doing. They're kind of just going through the motions. And, you know, if you were to just come and tell somebody, hey, you have a gift, you know, you technically have to speak life into them to kind of, you know, get them to start believing it. And I remember me and you, you know, me and you have sat down and I actually, you know, I attended a entrepreneurship class with you. And I remember, I'm not sure if you even remember how important it was. It was very important to me because at the end of the class, you had assigned me to someone to be my mentor. But then for some reason, you came over to me and said, hey, I'm going to take you under my wing. And from that moment on, we've kind of grown to know each other and learn, and you've poured so much into me. But that moment really let me know that you saw something in me. That was very critical to me. So let me ask you this. How important is it for someone to have someone as a mentor to stir that gift in them and to kind of point them in the right direction? How critical is that to their success?
You know what? I think it's super critical because the key thing is I think a lot of times we take our calling, we take these gifts, we take these talents, we take them for granted. We often take it for granted. And I think that's by design of the enemy because, again, with that first key where it talks about God is a creative God, we know that that creativity, those skills, whatever they are, those talents actually come from him. And so anything that comes from God has the power of God on it. It's powerful. And so he's placed those unique abilities within each person that he's birthed on the earth. And so the enemy knows that. And the enemy's job is to either make sure that that unique ability is used for his kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, or to nullify it, to make sure that the person that owns that unique ability does not know what they have. And so if the enemy is working on that side, to either misdirect or make that person blind to what they have, I believe that God sends mentors to counter that. And the mentor has a vision of, even if the person themselves does not realize what they have within them, that mentor has been that visionary. That mentor has been, you know, the scout that's already been sent out. In fact, you know, I'm a sci-fi fan, so I feel like this. That mentor is almost like a time traveler, and he's been in the future, and he knows what's supposed to take place, and so he's sent back into the present right now to make sure that that person fulfills their calling because he knows what's in them even if they don't.
I could definitely vouch for that because I know we've sat down many times and you shared things, and it sounded like, okay, sure, this guy don't know what he's talking about. He, you know. But then over time, as you know, you start saying, oh, now that stuff starts making sense. And then I start calling you back, asking more questions and more questions. So I can definitely relate to that. So so we touched on the importance of a mentor.
Yes.
But let's make this thing really relevant to the household.
Okay.
When that dad is home, he is supposed to be able to be that mentor, that visionary for the children.
Yes, exactly.
And we have a problem that has a twofold problem now. You have some dads that are in the house that aren't accessing their gifts or you know pursuing them, and then you just have some dads that aren't even in the house.
Yeah.
So how does that affect the wife and the children? And I mean, what kind of, I mean, how does a child grow up and the person that's supposed to be his first mentor, his first image of a visionary, if he's not present, what happens?
Well, that's where if that built-in mentor, you know, the especially the father, if that built-in mentor is not there, or if that built-in mentor, the father, is not, you know, operating in his God-given role to be the one that is not only identifying the special unique abilities that children have and even the wife has, if he's not on his job, then that's where I really believe that God sends other mentors and other people that encourage and that, you know, get that person motivated to see what they have in them. Because again, you're talking about, and I don't want us to take these things for granted. I mean, somebody has these unique abilities to create, when they have these unique abilities to bring people together, when they have these unique abilities to mobilize people, whatever it is, that's powerful. And it's directly from God himself. And the enemy knows the impact that these things will make. So he's on his job to, again, do one of two things. Either get control of those unique abilities and misuse it, get it misused to glorify his kingdom, or to nullify it.
Mm-hmm.
And if he can get into the household and just make that thing, just get it off, you know, just get it out of whack so it does not fulfill purpose, then he's done his job. And so that's where all these other encouragers that may be on the outside can kind of help fix it. But the original plan was, especially that father, to be in that house, in that role, and to be able to recognize the gifts and the calling of his children and even his wife, to the point where he can help direct those answers to those three questions. Who am I? Why am I here? And what should I be doing?
Okay. I love that. I love that because that's so true. And it even says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it comes to, you know, he wants to steal, the, you know, the dreams. He wants to, you know, kill the desire to do it and, mm-hmm. and pursue it and destroy. Because sometimes we could even start working on our gift and things are happening and we just kind of give up on it. We're throwing the
yeah.
towel on it. And that leads me to this point. A lot of times people take a step out on faith and they try to, you know, walk in their gift, and whether it's a musician or an artist of any sort or somebody that just has a passion for something.
Mm-hmm.
But they get caught up in their gift is not paying the bills. Their gift is not, you know, taking care of the household, and you know that becomes a heavy burden on the house. So what's a guy to do, or what's a person to do when their gift is not, you know, paying the bills?
Right. You know, that's a tough one, and that's part of what I've been spending my time trying to help people uncover the answers to, because of it being something that is a challenge. But I believe I've been blessed to kind of see it in new ways and in unique ways. And let me give you an example. One of the things that I learned of it, and I've even written a couple of blog posts on this, especially you take those that have the, you know, so-called traditional creative gifts and talents, the people that are in the arts, like you mentioned, you know, the person that sings and the person that you know, wants to perform, and even the, you know, the visual artists. I mean, over decades, term have been come about that they call a starving artist. So it kind of has, to a certain degree, set the stage for, yeah, you got this talent, but you ain't never going to be able to eat. And that is not true. But here's how a person uncovers that. Again, walking that pathway of knowing that God has given them this unique ability, and to pursue those three questions: who am I? Why am I here? And then especially that last question, what should I be doing? And as it all of this really ties in, you know, you can have this gift from day one. And the thing about these unique talents, a lot of times there's no mystery as to what that talent is in many people. They know without a doubt, if they can't do this and they can't do that, they know that they can draw. Or if they can't do these, they know that they can sing. Or if they can't do this and they can't do that, they know that they usually are the leader of the group. And so usually there's no doubt as far as what the gift is. But that third question is, well, what should I be doing with this? And all of this ties into having that ongoing relationship with God, because God knows exactly what the plan is. So I said all that to say that part of what I've seen some people being able to do is when they look at their unique abilities in a different way. For example, with the musician, I tell folks, do what you do, do it well, do it right, master that thing. So I tell them, do what you do, do it well, do it right. Then the second thing I tell them to do is teach what you do. Because once you start mastering your own skill set, and when you start mastering that, that own your own talent, that own unique ability that what you do. Let's say if it is somebody that is a singer and they've mastered those skills. In fact, there's somebody I'm coaching now, one of my one-on-one coaching sessions, who is a singer. And she's doing it well, she's doing it right, and she's performing. She's, you know, doing weddings. She's a wedding singer, and she, you know, does this and does that to the point where she has an income stream, one income stream, just by doing what she does well. But then she's been able to now start teaching vocal lessons, which has opened up a totally different income stream for her. And what's exciting now in this modern age that we live in, teaching your unique ability does not have to be limited to the traditional classroom. It does not have to be limited to physically getting everybody together in one location. But, you know, there's people that are doing this all day, every day on the web and, you know, using the internet for this. So that person can also have an additional income stream by teaching what they do. And then that third level that I tell people to pay a close attention to is not only do what you do, not only teach what you do, but I call it preach what you do. And what I mean by that is if you start mastering those other two revenue streams or pathways, then there's going to be people that will ask you to come on out and speak about all these experiences. And that has been a revenue stream for many people as well, too. So that's just an example of it. But I said all that to say that many people, they look at just that one dimensional way of, well, I've got this gift, and how am I supposed to pay the bills with that? And they just look at it in one way, and there's multi-dimensions of how they can employ their unique abilities and talents and actually earn some revenue and pay the bills in multiple unique ways.
That's good. That's good stuff right there. And I wanted to touch on that just a little, because I didn't struggle with this, but it was a big concern for me, because you know sometimes you get your gifts and you want to jump out the window and start running, you know, put everything else out, you know, I'm about to, you know, change the world with this and stuff like that. Yeah. But one thing that helped me out is you know, as you mentioned in the beginning, we have to, you know, make sure that we stay aligned with God. We have to stay, in constant communication and listening for and looking for signs. And one thing that helped me out was, you know, I had to put things in priority. You know, my relationship with God came first, where, you know, it was intimate. We talk and, you know, I listened and everything. But then I had to make sure that my relationship with my wife was in order. Yeah, I had to make sure my relationship with my children was in order. Yep. And then for me, you know, what I'm gifted in, it doesn't necessarily, you know, jump out to pay the bills up front. So I had to make sure that I had, you know, a good relationship at my job to where, you know, I'm paying the bills.
Right.
And the thing about it is when you tap into your gift, you don't mind going to work because your mind is on your gift. You're like, you know what?
Right.
This is taking care of everything. So if I work this job and do it to the best of my ability, because I know I'm doing it for God, my family's taken care of, my children are taken care of, and then I know I got my gift that's going to sit there and one day it's going to manifest into something to where it becomes my full, you know, my source of income and everything.
Yes, exactly.
So that helped me out to keep everything in order. And I see a lot of guys that they go straight into their gift, whether it's music or whatever, and they put everything into that, and they don't have no way to pay the bill. And that's a strain on the family. That's a strain on the wife.
And see, and that's where, like you said, that starting point with that relationship with the Holy Spirit, speaking to that person who's trying to find that way. Because the thing about it, God's not a cruel God. So he's not going to give that person a gift and a desire to run with it, and then not equip them and not give them a roadmap. That's cruel.
Yeah.
But he said, you know, if you abide in me and I abide in you, if that relationship is going on, then when we're ready to run, sometimes God will say, go ahead and run. When we're ready to run and we're not supposed to run, sometimes he'll say, no, just stay right here. Just stay right here and be patient. And if we follow him, he's going to show us where the doors are opening. And then we will feel fulfilled.
Yep. And you had dropped a bomb on me one time when we had a meeting, and you talked about how sometimes You could be lined up with God and you could be doing everything, but the enemy will come and wrap his arm around you and kind of try to steer you in a different direction.
Yes.
And that's a lot of times we fall for that because we like we know what our gift is. We've tapped into it. We know that we can do this. People have been praising us and saying this is great. And all of a sudden, you kind of get that smooth turn into a different direction. And next thing you know, you way off course.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. That's what he tried to do. That's what. And again, these gifts and unique abilities. God has, you know, several assignments, because part of what he does, you know, he manifests himself in the earth to people. And so he gives us, he equips us to do these things that he already has in a plan to do anyway through these unique abilities that we have. And so the enemy's goal, the goal of the enemy is to stop us, to derail that plan one way or another. And some folks he stopped from the very beginning where they never start operating in their gift. And some folks he gets them where he sees that they're operating in their gift. And then he says, okay, you know what? That's the button I'm going to push. I'm going to make them love their gift more than anybody else. All those things, the goal of the enemy is to make it ineffective for the glory of God and especially try to see what he can do to make it more effective for the kingdom of God. But the gift and the unique ability is powerful. And effect.
Yep, I definitely agree. And that segues right perfectly into my next question.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just speaking from a husband's standpoint,
okay.
You know, we talk about how the enemy, you know, he's coming for that gift. He's coming to, you know, steal, kill, and destroy.
Right.
But our wives play, don't they play such a critical part in trying to keep us grounded and
us
guided in the direction? And sometimes when we get too much in our feelings and, you know, we need our wife to kind of bring us back to reality or sometimes when we get down, we need our wives to encourage us again to keep us going. So talk about the value of a wife when it comes to a father and a dad, you know, exercising and working in his gifts.
I'm going to tell you, man, I mean, God is so wise because the main thing he does is use people in these roles to create balance. And, you know, just the husband and the wife together, I mean, with the husband catching the vision for the household and then especially catching the vision for his own unique, you know, special abilities and then tying it into knowing that he's a provider and he when he sees the connection of, oh, I could use this gift and this talent, to help provide, and that he's ready to run. And like I was saying earlier, sometimes he needs to not run right away, and God's got to get that message to him. And God doesn't do stuff by magic. You know, what he does, he uses the people that he's placed around us, and especially in that household is that spouse, that wife. And what I've learned over the years, and there's been a couple lessons, but what I've learned over the years is, you know, when you bounce that idea or when you bounce that concept off of your wife and when you get the nod, yeah, let's go ahead and try that, then, you know, you're excited and ready to run. But then when you don't necessarily get that nod right away and you're like, oh, well, she don't know what you're talking about. And, you know, I learned the hard way that, well, you know what, let me pay attention to either her, you know, if she says something that counters it, or if she doesn't say anything, but she just doesn't say yes. That's God's way of speaking to us and letting us know when the time is right and when the time is not right.
Mm, yep. Yeah, that, like you said, that's a tough process right there because we had the whole thing all mapped out and ready to go, and we ready to launch, and then we share it with our wives, and they're like, oh, nah.
Don't agree?
Like, you're in a bad mood today or something? You know, you're like, this thing is foolproof. Right, there's nothing wrong with this. What's wrong?
Don't agree? Well, they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah. But like you said, it's a great, you know, gauge to recognize because if she shoots it down immediately, maybe it just means that you need to go back and refine it to where it's very clear for her to understand it. if she kind of like, then you just kind of maybe need to just give her some time. But then sometimes when she gives you the green light, you need to move on it. Because if she got your back, I mean, you just make sure you keep her aligned in communications with what every step of it. Because that's one mistake I made. Sometimes, you kind of get the green light and then you just kind of just get ahead and go all about it. And you forget to just check in with her and let her know. And now all of a sudden she feels separated from something that you want her to be a part of, but you haven't included her in it.
So right.
That's a big mistake that we make sometimes.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I've been teaching in, even when we were doing the entrepreneurship course, and even in my one-on-one coaching now, but one of the things that we teach, especially with entrepreneurs that are married, we tell them as they're putting together their strategic plans to run with these ideas that they have, especially creative ideas that they have, that they've got to do the due diligence to the point where they are able to explain a strategy to their spouse, to the point where the spouse gets it. And if they haven't worked that strategy to the point where the spouse can see the vision as well, then they got to go back to the drawing board, because you get it to where it needs to be when it's ready. When you can, it's basically what the word says: write the vision, make it plain, so that the person that reads it will run with it. They will get as excited as you are if you take that time to count up the cost, write that vision out, make it plain, and then show it to them, and then they're like, "Oh yeah, you know what? That does make sense. Let's try this out."
Mm-hmm.
So if you can't get to that point, then there's